Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Geox Group first 9 months 2019 sales results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. The call is chaired by Geox Vice President, Mr. Enrico Moretti Polegato, the CEO, Mr. Matteo Mascazzini, and the CFO, Mr. Livio Libralesso. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Enrico Moretti Polegato. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are here today to comment on the sales figures for the first 9 months, 19. The CEO and I, the CFO, will shortly be providing you with all the details. The first 9 months of 19 were characterized by a particularly complex market context. The entire retail sector is undergoing an important reorganization process as a result of the increasingly important role being played by the digital channel, which has led to a reduction in footfall. In some markets, this phenomenon has been accentuated by geopolitical tensions. To best deal with this context, Geox has continued to implement the main initiatives provided for by the 1921 Strategic Business Plan. The aim of these initiatives is to create a new omnichannel business that can increasingly react and respond to consumers' needs. The results from the first 9 months of the year confirm both the strategic validity of these choices and the need to speed up ongoing initiatives. Performance remains very positive, plus 31% in the direct e-commerce channel, which we insourced over the last year. We are therefore focusing our efforts and investments on our stores in order to increase footfall and boost productivity. The positive performance recorded to date for the 19 autumn-winter collection, and in particular apparel, makes us even more determined to continue with the project planned.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Matteo Mascazzini. First of all, I have to send you the greetings of our president, Mr. Mario Moretti Polegato. As you heard, our vice president, Enrico Moretti Polegato, delivered the initial speech. Our president, after BOD today, had to step out of the office. You have a presentation we sent, so if we turn to page two, we can start commenting on the sales highlights for this first 9 months of the year. The total sales were equal to €600,043.4. That's a decrease of minus 4.3%, with a little bit of help from the forex impact. The forex impact is minus 4.9% at constant currency. The main reasons are basically very similar to the one we discussed during our call commenting H1 results. So for wholesale, we are now recording a decrease of 5% compared to last year. This is actually, if you remember, the last time we commented the initial orders was for spring summer 19, and they were approximately minus 9% compared to the counter season. So as we said, we managed to improve that result of initial order collections through an improvement of reorders. Clearly, in-season management is becoming more and more important for us, and also the higher sale of our stock, which is due to the leftovers of the previous seasons in 2019 that allowed for additional product to be available. We basically said during the first semester call that we expect low to mid single digits decline for wholesale through the rest of the year, and basically we are performing to that level. Moving on to DOS, they're still positive, slightly positive, 0.2%. This is exactly as for the first semester, the result of a little bit of an increase in perimeter in small single digit, and small single digit negative like for life of minus 3%. If you remember, the main reason for this were a very harsh beginning of the spring-summer season in April and May, and then again a soft sales period, which we already commented during our call at the end of July for July, continued through August, with September and October instead improving. What makes us more hopeful is certainly the result recorded by the online channel, so more than 30%. So this keeps on increasing. If you remember, was if I remember correctly, 26% at the end of the first semester. So it's an even increasing a component, which we think is very important. As far as the franchisees are concerned, again, similar comments. The perimeter decreases by approximately 10%, and the rest is due to the like-for-like performance, which is slightly worse than the DOS. As I was mentioning before, positive October, but most importantly, positive so far fall-winter 19 season after the difficult spring-summer season. We're recording better sellouts, better sell-throughs, and better performances pretty much all across the board in our DOS so far. So that makes us for sure more positive. If we move on to page 3, we comment a bit more in detail about the channels. As you can see, in wholesale, we basically drop 16 million euros of sales. And that, again, has an underlying reason being the more selective approach we have to the markets, particularly with what concerns the normal smaller accounts, which are also the ones that are suffering the most out of the extremely competitive environment brought over by the online players. On top of the normal accounts, we need to comment also on the consolidation that is taking place all across Europe of major players. We know in Germany the merger between Karstadt and Kaufhof, but also important other restructuring of companies owned in Germany by the CC Group. So for sure there's this dynamic taking effect, and we need to basically deal with it in the most appropriate way to ensure financial soundness of our choices and images, but and the choices that actually improve our image. When we're talking about again the importance of the in-season reorders, as we said before, this is really a component of our business model, which is truly changing. We're getting more and more equipped to satisfy reorders need after initial orders from our key accounts. And as we said before, slightly positive impact of the weakness of the euro compared to the markets with dollar-based. Denominated currencies. Franchisee, we said it before, there's nothing more to comment, so decrease in perimeter and negative like-for-like, slightly worse than the US. As we said before, commenting on the decrease of perimeter, we'd like to always mention the fact that while we do take over franchisee once in a while, this is not really necessarily part of a systemic strategy. So when we select carefully, when we talk to our partners, we select carefully the ones that can be transformed into the DOS, and the rest instead are not considered. In terms of the DOS, again, slightly positive impact from Forex is responsible for part of this small increase. And then again, to be underlined, the important performance of the online component. In terms of a mix between the channels, there's really no particular change, with the exception of a shrinking of franchisees. Again, we're dropping basically 13 million euros, which brings the franchisees to be counting for approximately 11% of our business. Moving on to more details about the DOS, both offline and online, on page 4. As you can see, Q3 has been marginally better than Q2, so we managed to record two good quarters in Q4 2018 and Q1 of 2019, so both positive quarters. Then, because of the reason we mentioned before about the soft beginning of spring-summer season, we recorded a particularly tough second quarter, marginally improving in Q3, and bringing us to this minus 3% in like-for-like since the beginning of the year. Again, if you look instead of improvement below in the like-for-like for the online, you see how it keeps on accelerating. And to be honest with you, this is for us an extremely positive component because if you remember last year, we converted in July the previously outsourced business into internally managed business. So we basically comped an outside business for the first 6 months of 2019. So while we were ramped up to perform, of course, equally successfully, we were concerned about comping ourselves and great results in the second semester of 18. And instead, as you can see, we are even increasing the improvement ratio. So we're very happy about that. Quickly moving on to the by-product slide, page number 5. Again, nothing changes here. We're still talking about footwear 90%, apparel 10%. With apparel overperforming footwear, and in particular, we once again stress the fact that apparel is performing extremely positively in our stores. We have a plus 15% versus last year trend, which are still recording. So for sure, important positive results in apparel. On page 6, to counter what has been a bit of a softness in the kids business, we are launching as we speak, it's reaching the store right now, the product that is the result of this cooperation with the Walt Disney Company. It's the product linked to Frozen 2, which is a movie which will be released toward the end of the month in the European markets and also in the US. And we truly expect great performances out of this important cooperation. And now for more in detail comments, I'll pass on the microphone to Livio.
Thank you, Matteo. Moving on to page 7, we can see the retail network chart. The group is still in an optimization mode, so the total network landed at 975 stores, recording a decrease of 40 units net. As a result of 51 new openings, mainly in franchising in Russia, Eastern Europe, and Asia-Pacific, and 91 closure, 16 in Italy, 24 in Europe, 1 in North America, and 50 considering together Russia and Asia-Pacific. The restyling plan is ongoing, and it aims at improving performances by means of the rollout of the new X-Store concept. New windows displays, new assortment strategies, and new policies regarding in-store visuals. At the end of September, there are 214 stores with the new concept versus 136 at December last year. And clearly, this CapEx investment is driving to a slight increase in D&A compared with last year. It is also important to underline the evolution of the franchising network in continental Europe that shows a decrease of 49 units, close to a negative perimeter effect of minus 10-11%. Please turn to page 8 to comment net sales by region. Italy is down 7.4%, impacted by the rationalization of wholesale due to a prudent and a quality over quantity approach in this mature market. In addition, the franchising network has been impacted by the closures and conversions occurring in the last quarter by a mid-single-digit negative like-for-like. There is a slight increase in the US top line thanks to a positive space effect due to some takeovers from franchisees that more than compensated a negative like-for-like in line with the group average. Direct online is up 35% in Italy. Europe is down 5%. The dynamics are exactly the same as in Italy, except for a better like-for-like that is flattish in Europe, in the US, and a plus 38% growth in the direct online channel. Going to North America, we see that this region is down 8.7% as a result of a positive wholesale in Canada, but not enough to compensate the selective approach and the rationalization of this channel adopted in the US, aiming at a distribution more in sync with the brand position and values. On the other hand, there is a positive indication from web. We have completed the full insourcing of this sub-channel both for the US and for Canada, and it is delivering strong double-digit growth like in Italy and in Europe. Rest of the world is positive, plus 2.2%, and the performance is mainly driven by Eastern Europe and especially Russia, that are showing a double-digit growth both in like-for-like and the wholesale. While in Asia-Pacific, the top line is negative, high single-digit, impacted by Hong Kong's turmoil and the change to operation in Chinese direct online mid-layer. Let me now hand over to Matteo again for the outlook regarding the full year.
For the rest of the year and for the result of the 12 months 2019, the outlook we present is pretty much similar to the one we presented after the first semester. So basically, in terms of the wholesale channel, as we were mentioning before, we do expect a decrease of between low and mid single digits. Again, improvements on the original collection of initial orders, and a better reorder season and stock sales. This is based on an important assumption, actually two important assumptions. First one is the one of reorders continuing to the rate that we are expecting, we've been experiencing, but also on the delivery of Spring-Summer 20 by the tune of what we did in the last quarter of 2018 for Spring-Summer of 19. And this is an important assumption. In terms of the franchisees, basically we'll see them continue to perform. The 10% drop in terms of perimeter has already manifested itself. So we are basically looking at the like-for-like for the remaining 6 weeks and the remaining third quarter of the year, and the sum of the two will basically return the performances year-end 2019. For the directly operated stores, we do expect them to be still slightly positive at the end of the year, but then, of course, this is very much based on the performances like-for-like of the fourth quarter. We have 6 weeks so far, as was mentioned before. They were positive 6 weeks. Clearly, we're heading into the heaviest sales season of the end of November and all through December. So while we hope these performances can be confirmed, clearly there's still a big component to be brought home. In terms of the e-commerce direct channel, that we, as we said before, saw continuing its growth and actually increasing the ratio of growth, we do expect this to continue as well. We're very carefully supplying the merchandise to be able to sustain these extremely positive performances. So we are quite positive on that. In terms of all the activities we have started on retail, mostly brick and mortar, and some of them also on the online, but in the brick and mortar, again, renovations, new windows displays, and most importantly, new buying and allocation techniques for which we have structured a new and entirely new team working with new tools to support that. They will all continue to support the four-wall performances of our store, which, just to be reminded, they are positive in terms of delivering on the KPIs and are basically suffering the lack of traffic, which we said before is both organic and caused by specifics in certain markets. Very importantly, we continue our projects that are based both on technology and organization and process changes, which we truly believe are the engine on which we will base the growth going forward. So where does this leave us? So clearly, when we talk about sales, we expect the total sales to confirm pretty much what we are seeing today in terms of performances. So again, low to mid single digits decline to the end of the year. Again, we said about the dynamics of retail and wholesale improving on the original order collection, but not enough to make up entirely for the loss. Clearly, as we were saying before, we are heading toward a heavy sales season, so we'll be very carefully balancing CRM activities and the need to generate additional sales in our DOS with the need to maintain and preserve the gross margin. But being at six weeks toward the end of the year, the expectation for the margin in terms of percentage on sales is probably at this point to be the same of 2018. In terms of the cost dynamic, of course, there are certain costs that are linked to the mentioned increase in terms of the perimeter of the US, bringing over the related operational costs, which are both meant to be forward cost and the logistics. But on top of that, we're basically also seeing some of the impacts of certain decisions made for the strategic plan. Livio mentioned before a bit of an increase in depreciation and amortization due to the fact that we renovated a large chunk of our stores between 18 and 19, basically around 170 stores so far. And also a slight increase in communication expenses. So having said this, declining sales, an equal marginality in terms of percentage as of 2018 and some increased cost will certainly trigger some impact on the profitability. So we do, at this point, expect to see a slightly negative EBIT margin at the end of the year. Clearly, this confirms our view that we've discussed several times about 2018 being a tough year, being a transition year, being the first year in which we start certainly with some headwinds to implement our strategic plan. We remain committed to the key strategic goals together decided in 2018 for the following 3 years. For sure, again, as we discussed some time in the past, it will probably mean the time frame for this will be delayed compared to the original expectation. Having said this, of course, we remain committed to the strategies, and as we said when we presented the plan, we remain equally flexible and determined to find additional solution, correction, and improvements on the plan to react in the best possible way to the changes in the markets and in the competitors' challenges. I think we basically are done with describing the presentation we sent you concerning the first 9 months' revenues, so I think we can open the floor to questions. Thank you.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Andrea Randone with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good evening. I have a question about your online business. The top line growth is remarkable. I wonder if you can give us more details about the marketing efforts you are devoting to this new business line, and also the investments associated to the insourcing so far. Thank you.
I think it's worth spending 30 seconds on describing what was done in the past year and a half. As we said, mentioned before, we insourced the European e-commerce in July of 2018. In terms of investments, there were no substantial investments. We had been working on creating an IT platform in the previous months, and we leveraged the capacity of our distribution center here in Signoressa, close to our headquarters in Montebelluna. So we do everything internally there, so that really did not trigger many additional costs. Then we insourced a year later in July, we insourced the North American e-commerce, which was equally run by an outside partner. So we insourced US and Canada in July, and we basically duplicated the setup. So we leveraged on the Salesforce cloud on which we built the platform. So that was really very efficient as well. We didn't need to invest that much, and we leveraged on the logistic platform we already had to service both wholesale and retail for the US and Canadian market. We changed the mid layer in China, serving our store on Tmall and JD. We went with Baozun in spring, which is, as you know, is part of the Alibaba group. But there too, we didn't have to change the setup in logistics, and the fees were not dramatically different from the previous operator. In terms of marketing, of course, we have an investment in search engine marketing. They are quite in line with what I believe are our standard market practices, and they still allow for the channel to return a good return on sales. So we haven't done anything exceptional. We just boosted recently in China through a critical partnership with WWF, which is very, very close to the DNA of Geox in terms of sustainability. And it's a partnership which is worldwide. But in China, we extended the partnership and we managed to leverage on that to create lots of traffic online through the partnership with key influencers that were associated to the efforts of WWF. But other than that, I think I can't really mention any specific investment over and above what would be normal best practices for the market.
Thank you very much. Very clear. And if I may, I have a follow-up question about the current trading. You mentioned the apparel segment is growing faster than the rest. I wonder if this is because you have changed the display, product display in your boutiques, or is just a matter of consumer preferences. Thank you.
I think the ready-to-wear is a very good example of a success story for us, even though it's still a small portion of our business. But in the past couple of years, we changed the internal team that handles it. We changed the outsourced design studios. We took a path of a more modern, contemporary product. We worked very close to the distribution and both internal and external, and we changed the production. We basically moved most of the production. We achieved quite substantial economies of scale and scope by merging the production approach between shoes and ready-to-wear. So we are definitely offering a more enticing product with a richer content, but we managed, thanks to the optimization of a supply chain, to offer it with price points that are equally interesting. In the stores, for sure, the change to the new concept is great for ready-to-wear, because the new concept clearly was already designed to house in the most proper way the visual of the ready-to-wear. So I think this is a bit of a virtuous cycle example of what we can do when we deliver ready-to-wear. And for the new season, we will double the efforts, and we'll also have a very interesting spin on sustainability, because we will offer almost 100% sustainable padding, both through recycled PET in inworm and recycled DAWN. So the new collection which we are presenting to our sales force next week makes us extremely, extremely positive about the future of the ready-to-wear.
Thank you. Thank you again.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So we thank everybody and have a good night.